wanted to talk a little bit today about talking during davening. And I know you guys are probably not so happy that I'm talking about this again, because I talk about it a lot. And I just think there are two reasons why it needs to be constantly discussed. And number one is that it's one of those things that needs a lot of chizuk, and, you know, things that need a lot of chizuk, even though you say, like, all right, you spoke about it 2 weeks ago, a month ago, 2 years ago, whatever it may be. So sometimes you need to give constant reminders to be mechazik people. And number two, which I think is more of an issue, and I have mentioned this to you in the past, that I find that, maybe this is just me being a grumpy old man, but I find that the problem has gotten significantly worse over the years. I think that when I was a kid and when I was a young adult, that there were two categories of people. There were people who talked during davening and people who didn't talk during davening. And obviously within those categories, there are subcategories, meaning there are many people, I think the majority of people, who talk during davening also daven. I think there are people who, they come to shul to daven, they're just not careful about not talking during davening, so they talk and daven. Whereas there are people who didn't talk during davening, actually didn't talk during davening. Maybe once in a while, being gavra la gavra and alios, not that I recommend it, but maybe they would talk a little bit. But really, there was a class of people who really did not talk during davening at all, or at least very, very little. And I find that those same types of people who, you know, have the level of Torah mitzvah observance, and the types of people who are b'nei Torah, kovei itama Torah, who, you know, have a frumer, again, it's hard to, you know, put people into boxes like this, but just for the sake of this discussion, I'm putting people in a box. But obviously, you know, there's exceptions to every rule. But the people, you know, people who have taken on a certain frum look, and people have taken on a certain frum attitude towards their general lives and their avodas Hashem, those are the types of people who made a conscious effort to be mahadir b'mitzvos and to do things in the best possible way. Those were guys you could count on really to not talk during davening. And I have found that that category of Jew is kemat disappearing. Now, what I mean by that is there are, thank God, many, many people who are very committed to Talmud Torah, and they're very committed to Shmiras HaMitzvos, and to try to do things in as positive and mahudur a fashion as possible. But those same guys who also were the guys could be counted on to, you know, to behave properly during davening, now no longer do so. I think that these guys still, they daven very nicely, and they daven with kavana, and when they're davening. But when they're not davening and when things are going on, they'll talk, you know, just as much as everybody else during the rest of davening. And I find that this is going on in a number of different shuls that I've been in. I don't go to that many shuls, but in the shuls that I've been to, I've seen guys communicating somewhat nonverbally in the middle of Shmon Esrei. Guys who daven along Shmon Esrei. Now they're like I saw a guy yesterday, and it just made a very bad, you know, very negative impression in my mind. Saw a guy yesterday walk in the middle of Mincha Shmon Esrei, and one guy was davening silent Shmon Esrei. The other guy walked over to him in the middle of Shmon Esrei and showed him something on his phone in the middle of Shmon Esrei. Like, that the guy was davening, and he thought that this his friend would want to see something that was on his phone in the middle of silent Shmon Esrei. They didn't even wait till Chazar Sashatz to point it out, which obviously is not good either. But Mamish, in the middle of the Tefillah Balachash, showed him something on his phone and whispered something in his ear. And it was unbelievable to me, because both of these guys, I happen to know for a fact, are the types of people who, when they daven very nicely. And it got to the, it just something that really just bothered me so much, I felt the need to try to address it again. So I wanted to discuss three aspects of why it's important not to talk during davening. And there are many more aspects than this. These are just three that you know, popped into the forefront of my mind. Number one, simply put, the halachic permissibility of talking during davening is simply not there. Just to outline a very, very bekitzer, each one of these things can be elaborated on for, you know, many hours, but just for our purposes, so first of all, there is really no time during davening where you can communicate. Certainly, there's almost no time when you can talk unless you have some very valid excuse why you need to. What do I mean by that? So once you start, you know, you come to shul, Birchas HaShachar, Birchas HaTorah, Korbanos. Once you start what we would call, you know, the basics of davening, in terms of Psukei Dezimra, so the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Nun Aleph Sif Dalet, Sarach Lizar Milahafsik V'Dibor Mishayaskel Baruch Sha'amar Ad Sof Yud Ches. Right, so it says that you're not, you have to be careful not to speak out and interrupt with speech from the time that you begin Baruch Sha'amar until the end of Shemona Esrei. So right then and there, you see that there's very little time during davening where you're actually allowed to interrupt by saying Varim B'Telem, Divrei Chol. And the Ramah just points out in parentheses, Afilu Litzorach Mitzvah, Ein Medaber Ein Baruch Sha'am Leishtavach. Even if it's the needs of a mitzvah, so you can't really talk during Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtavach. Now, what does he mean specifically during Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtavach? If the Mechaber just said between Baruch Sha'amar and the end of Shemona Esrei, so that's a reference most likely to the Shulchan Aruch's comment in Siman Nedalid, Seif Gimel, where he says, Hamesaper bein Yishtavach liyotzer averihi biyado v'chozer alei me'orche hamilchama. So saying that a person who talks between Yishtavach and Yotzer Or, so that is considered an avera, and a person who is going to war, it's the type of avera that's an avera enough that you wouldn't go to war because you would not be able to be, to count on your merits to protect you during the battle. And then the Ramah points out over there, but if it's letzorech mitzvah or to give tzedakah or something like that, that would be permissible between Yishtabach and Yotzer Or. Now, what are we talking about over here? So the Rishonim discuss the text of Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtavach. They discuss why is it that Baruch Sha'amar has a bracha attached to it, and Yishtavach sort of is the ending of a bracha, but has the format of a bracha smucha l'chavrta. So Tosfos and others point out that this is due to the fact that the Baruch Sha'amar is the opening bracha of Psukei Dezimra, and Yishtavach is the closing bracha. And we have a lot of similar ideas, like in Shemona Esrei, in Birkas Hamazon, in a few different places, we find that there is a concept of a series of brachos that have the din of a bracha hasmucha l'chaverta, where the opening bracha starts with a shem and malchus, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, and then the continuation does not have a shem and malchus, it just has a chasima of Baruch Atah Hashem, and then the ending over there. So this is the format that Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtavach seem to have. So in order to suggest that these are brachos asmuchos l'chavreim, this is a bracha asmucha l'chavrta, so we have to suggest that one cannot be mafsik in between these brachos with anything but the content that's made to be contained within them. Thus, even for a Dvar Mitzvah, if it's not the specific praises that we're supposed to be saying during that time, it's usher to be mafsik. And again, you have to learn the sugya to get the exceptions to that rule, but that's the basic rule. Then we finish off Baruch Sha'amar, we're moving into Birkos Kriya Shema. So that's really a new topic, it's a new concept in our tefillah, but since we want to have the Baruch Sha'amar apply to our Shemona Esrei as well, because of the question of what the function of Baruch Sha'amar, of what Psukei Dezimra is all about. So we want the Psukei Dezimra to be sort of an introduction of to our Shemona Esrei, based on the idea of La'olam Yisader Adam Shvacho Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Achar Kach Yispalel. First, we want to praise the Ribbono Shel Olam before we approach him with our needs. So in order that that take place, we specifically try not to be mafsik between the Psukei Dezimra and the Shemona Esrei. Now, obviously, we have Birkas Kriya Shema in there because we want to have Smichas Geula the Tefila and Biyotzei the Mitzvah Dereis of Kriya Shema. So we have no problem inserting the Kriya Shema at that point, and doesn't really shter the idea of Shevach before the Bakasha. But nevertheless, we don't want to interrupt with other things, and therefore we say you're not allowed to be misaper between Yishtabach and Yotzer Or, which is the opening of Birchas Kriya Shema. And thus we say that even though technically there's nothing linking the two in terms of their functionality one to the other, we don't allow a hefsik at that point, and that's why the Mechaber writes that it's chozer me'olav me'orchei hamilchama, that it's a small avera, and it's the type of small avera that if you, when we lay in when Mashiach Milchama reads out the psukim and Sefer Dvarim that talk about returning from war. So if a person is afraid, so the Chazal say over there, what does it mean afraid that he's going to be killed at war? Everybody's a little bit afraid they're going to be killed at war. They said, no, he's afraid because of the averus that he's done. Now, what would be an example of an avera that he's done that allows him to be afraid he's going to be killed in battle? So we say, even a person who speaks out between Yishtabach and Yotzer Or. Okay, so basically what we've covered is, it's simply a major hefsek, the same way as talking in the middle of benching, talking in the middle of Shmona Esrei, maybe not exactly the same, but similar to talking in the middle of those series of brachos, so too you're not allowed to talk out in between Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach, and you're not really allowed to talk out, except for a Dvar Mitzvah, between Yishtabach and Yotzer Or. Now, we still noted in Siman Aleph that the Shulchan Aruch said you're not allowed to talk until after Shmona Esrei. Now that's very simple because we have this concept of smichas geula tefila, that once you've started Yotzer Or, you're not allowed to be masik, except the Mishnayos outline of Me'akava, Me'ayira, okay, but in the end of the day, you're not really allowed to be masik for Dvar Metalim. And we have the concept of smichas geula tefila. We don't want to interrupt between discussing geulas Mitzrayim and the Shmona Esrei that we are about to say. And thus, we can't be masik until we begin the Shmona Esrei. Now, obviously, you can't talk during the Shmona Esrei itself, because you are omed b'tfila at that point, and these are obviously brachos asmuchos l'chavreim, and therefore you're not allowed to talk during those brachos as well. One interesting point I wanted to note, which is something that I've seen also very prevalent in shuls, is that I don't want to get into the reason why. I think I have my own cute reason why people don't do this, but there's a very common custom amongst people who daven in Ashkenazi shuls, and Sfardim don't really say it, but people who daven in Ashkenazi shuls, that they don't say Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen V'Amen at Maariv because they want to be Yotzei Smichas Geula Tefila in the best possible way. So whether or not that's an appropriate thing to do, it's highly questionable. The minhag of B'nai Ashkenaz for many generations, dating back all the way to the earliest Rishonim, was to say Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen V'Amen. There are a few Rishonim who say not to say it, and that became the Ramban Shita, and became known later on as the Shita Sagra, and perhaps that's the reason the Talmidim of the Gra, the Talmidim of Baal Shem, who settled in Eretz Yisrael in the 1800s, who had the minhag not to say it, although in the Gra's own minyan, they did say it, he just didn't say it. But nevertheless, that became the prevalent minhag in Eretz Yisrael. So a lot of Bnei Chutz La'aretz, again, thank God we have the opportunity to visit Eretz Yisrael very frequently. So they picked up on this, and they don't say Baruch Hashem Olam Amen V'Amen also. So whether or not that's appropriate, it's not so clear. But nevertheless, people are doing it. So what do they do during that time? So I have found very often people who don't say Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen V'Amen, they talk during that time, or they communicate in some way during that time, or they engage in other activities during that time. The whole point of not saying Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen V'Amen is because you're so makbid on Smichas Geula Tefila at Maariv, you say that this is going to constitute a hefsek between Smichas Geula Tefila, and therefore I have to be very careful not to be masik with anything, even these praises to the Ribbono Shel Olam and these psukim. So therefore, I'm not even going to say that. I'm just going to try to get, straight from Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomer Amo Yisrael Lo'ad, through Shmona Esrei, without any interruptions whatsoever. So Kal V'Chomer, Ben Benoshel Kal V'Chomer, a person should not be engaged in actual inyanim of Hefsik, in actual talking, in actual interruption between Geula and Tefillah during that time. So if you're going to talk during that time, then obviously you should be saying Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen V'Amen during that time and not engaged in Dvarim B'Teilim. Okay, so now we're moving on to Shmona Esrei itself. So we said again, you're not allowed to talk until after Shmona Esrei. That's what the Mechaber covered in Siman Aleph. However, if you look in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, Seif Aleph, the Mechaber points out, Ein Ledaber Bein Tefila L'Nefila Sapayim. You're not allowed to talk between Shmona Esrei and Tachanun. So So and the Rishonim already learned, the Rashba and the Ritva learned it from the Gemara and Hazav, with the whole story of Reb Lezman Horkanus after he was excommunicated, that his wife was always masikim between his Shmona Esrei and his Tachanun, and therefore his tefillos would lose their effectiveness. So we learned from there that there's an effectiveness to linking the Shmona Esrei to the Nefilah Sapayim, to our Tachanun, which gives it an extra kick. And thus, we don't want to interrupt in between the Tefillah and in between the Tefillah and the Tachanun. And thus, there's an Isser to be Masik as well over there. Now, the Shulchan Aruch does have, or the Mishnah Berurah has greater leniencies for being Masik at that point than perhaps some of the other points, but it's certainly not something you should do just stop to have a conversation. That's certainly not true. And there's an additional point that the Shulchan Aruch points out in Kuf Chaf Dalet, that even if you're davening with a tzibur, means that even if you're davening be yichidus, you shouldn't be masik in between your Shmona Esrei and the Nefilas Apayim. But certainly, if you're davening with a tzibur, so in Kuf Chaf Dalet Zayin, Shulchan Aruch points out, lo yasiach sichas chulin b'shoa sheshliach tzibur chozer hatfila. You should not speak any mundane matters while the Shmona Esrei, while the Chazar Sashatz is going on. Vimsachu chote, and if he sins, he is a, if he speaks, he is sinning. V'gadol avono miniso, and his avera is too great to be forgiven. V'gorin bo, and you should protest it. You should give him a dirty look. You should tell him not to do this. Okay, we'll come back to that yisod anyway. So basically, just in terms of the halachic permissibility of talking during davening, it's just not there. So again, I'm specifically pointing this out because the same chevra who are very makbid to do mitzvos b'dikdukim and they're trying to do things very, very carefully are not so makbid about talking during davening. And this is something, it's simply a violation of halacha. When you get to davening, if you have this tremendous yetzer hara to talk, although as I'll point out later, you shouldn't really talk then either, but if you want to get in the talking, you got to get in before Baruch Sha'amar or after Tachanun. Right, you know, I shouldn't go crazy during Asher Revol Tzion either, but nevertheless, you have to really understand that for the vast bulk of the davening, I'd say if you're there, if Shacharis takes you, 35 minutes or however long it takes, for 28 of the 35 minutes, it's an absolute violation of the Isser to be mafsik to speak out during davening. There's just not, there isn't a time when it's allowed. It's very hard to suggest that there are times where it's mutter to do it. And even, you know, I'm not going to get into more details with this now because it's already going for too long, but even frum talking, where you'll find that you'll go to certain shuls and it's going to be completely quiet during laning, and then bein gavra la gavra, there's a roar. I remember there's a particular shul I used to daven in once in a while that was like that, that it was bein, you know, during Kriyas HaTorah, not a sound. And then as soon as the Aliyah was over, there would be a tremendous amount of talking. And that's not necessarily mutter either. There's a machlokas rishonim whether it's mutter to talk in learning bein gavra l'gavra. Everybody seems to agree you can look inside a sefer and learn bein gavra l'gavra. But the question is whether or not it's mutter to talk to somebody else about your learning. So that's a machlokas rishonim already. But to talk to Aron Batalim bein gavra l'gavra is not so permissible. So again, there are very few points in the davening where even quote unquote frum talking is permitted. But certainly to just stam shmooze or to look on your phone and point it out to other people or even to yourself, you know, I think everybody would be sensitive to somebody taking out a novel or reading a newspaper in the middle of davening. They say, well, what's wrong with reading a novel? And they say, okay, there's nothing wrong with it. It's very nice. You want to read, you know, read away, but it's time and place. Is not the right idea. Okay, so that's point number one. Point number two is that one could suggest that talking during davening actually invalidates what you're trying to accomplish. Now, what do I mean by that? So this is specifically referring to Shmona Esrei, but I think talking during the entire davening has this effect. Now, the Rambam, when he's discussing the things that are ma'akev the davening in the fourth parak of Hilchos Tefillah, so he points out one of the things that's ma'akev is kavanas halev, right? And just in halacha tesvav, perek dalet halacha tesvav, where he says that kavanas halev, he gets into describing it, he says, kavanas halev ketzad, how does kavanas halev invalidate, is it necessary for the davening? Kol tefillah she'ena b'kavana, ena tefillah. any tefillah that is not done with kavana does not count as tefillah. V'mispalo b'lo kavana, chozer mispalo b'kavana. And if he is davening without kavana, then he has to go back and daven with kavana. And we said, and we go so far as to say, matzah daito meshubeshes v'libo tarud. And if he finds that his mind is simply not in the right place, and he's so distracted, and he can't think straight, asur lo lispalo ad shetisyashiv daito. He's not allowed to daven until he settles his mind. And he gives a couple of examples. I don't want to get into it right now. He mentions the Chassidim HaRishonim, but we'll go a little further into Halacha Tazayin. Ketzad hiya kavana. So what do I mean when I say that kavana is ma'akev even b'di'evit, that you have to go back and daven again? Sheyifnes libo mikol ha'machshavos. You should clear your mind from all stray thoughts. V'yira atzmo ki'ilhu omei lifnei hashchina. And you should envision yourself as if you're standing in front of God's glory. Therefore, you have to sit a moment. You have to settle yourself before you daven. To have that kavana. Right? And then you have to really pour out, you know, daven the right way, in a pleasant way, in a slow way, and with, you know, with making, you know, approaching God from a position of requesting things and to really ask for your needs. But lo yasa tefilo kamishu who knows say masuy mashlicho v'holichlo. And you shouldn't daven in such a way that you're just throwing off a burden. Okay, so and he goes further, and that's where he mentions the Chassidim Rishon. But the bottom line is that in order to have kavana for davening, the minimal amount of kavana is a person who understands that he is omeid lifnei hashchina. Person views himself as beseeching the king for his needs, not that he's throwing off a burden. He's talking to the Ribbono Shalom himself. And ad kedei kach, the Rambam says, and there's a very famous comment of Reb Chaim, the second Reb Chaim in the Sefer about this, where he says that there's a difference between saying the words and not really concentrating on the words, which is still considered tefillah, but it's bad. It's a bad tefillah, versus this kind of kavana, lack of this kavana, of realizing that you're omei lifnei hamelech, is something which it invalidates the entirety of the tefillah. It's not simply that you're davening, but you're doing so badly. It's that you're not even davening at all. This doesn't constitute a valid tefillah if you don't envision yourself as omid lifnei hashchina. Now, just practically speaking, is it possible for a person to be engaging in a mundane conversation during the time leading up to Shmoneh Esrei, whether it's during Psukei Dezimra, whether it's during Birkas Kriya Shema, or even, God forbid, during the Shmoneh Esrei itself? Is it even humanly possible to achieve the idea of Kavanas HaLev that the Rambam requires of Omid Lifnei Hashchina if you just got done talking during davening? I can't imagine the person whose mind can shift that quickly from having whatever side conversation he was having to now considering himself to be omei lifnei hashchina. Maybe it's possible. I don't view it as possible personally. Maybe, you know, that's a lack of my own ability to concentrate, which certainly is very real. But nevertheless, it's not something which I think that a person can claim, you know, with a real sense of confidence that he's able to talk and daven. And that's what I was going back to at the beginning. I said there are people who daven and talk. The problem with davening and talking during davening, forgetting about the halachic considerations in terms of whether or not it was mutter be mafsik, there's the halachic consideration in terms of whether your Shmoneh Esrei is considered valid. Whether or not talking during davening can invalidate the Shmoneh Esrei. I'm not talking about talking during Shmoneh Esrei as a hefsik. I'm talking about making it impossible for a person to have the prerequisite kavana for davening Shmoneh Esrei. And just to elaborate this a little bit more from a slightly hashkafa perspective, in the Sefer Derech Hashem, in the fourth chelik of Derech Hashem, he goes through certain mitzvahs, and when he talks about the mitzvah of tefillah, so just the Bekitzer Nimratz, he points out, I'll just give you this one line which I really like from the Derech Hashem, V'hine zeh chomer hatefillah. This is part of I don't know what exactly the intenseness or the seriousness of tefillah, she'asur lahafsik baklal, that it's asur to interrupt in it at all. Mipnei heyos b'ha adam b'kur v'gadola elav yisbrach. Why can't you be masik? Because you're so close to the Ribbono Shalom. A person who's in the middle of davening is so close to God, you simply can't talk out. It's you're in conversation with the Almighty. If somebody next to you wants to talk to you and you respond, so what you're saying is, I'm not talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you were talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you wouldn't be able to respond. You're not even here. And that's a little bit of the next line. He says, V'chein suder bat ha-hefter b'sofa, ha-hipater b'sofa, sorry, v'halach la'achor of gimel psios. So he says, they made a special rule. When you finish your Shemona Esrei, you're supposed to take 3 steps back. Why? V'hu shuva adam al matzavo ha-tmidi, kimoshe mitzdarech lo b'shar kol zmano. Because now you're returning to your normal situation that you need to live your life the rest of the day. But when you were davening, you weren't in the room, Kemat. You were practically up in Shemayim talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So by definition, you can't talk during davening. It's not that you're not allowed to talk during davening. It's that if you're actually davening, it should be viewed in your mind as physically impossible. And there's a very interesting psak, and I'm not saying you should rely on this halacha l'maisa, but you know, I also have benefited from those who have violated this ruling. But nevertheless, you always have certain people in shul who want to be helpful, and when it's a day of Yalav Yavo or whatever additions to the Shemona Esrei, Vashiva Ruach, the same Talamatar, etc. So they'll always be careful when they get to that part of the Shemona Esrei to say out loud Vashiva Ruach Mar Nageshem or Yalav Yavo or something like that in the course of the Shemona Esrei. They're not interrupting their davening at all. They're simply saying those words of the Shemona Esrei out loud. So in the Halichos Shlomo, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach just points out that he's very against that practice, and he thinks that it flies in the face of what we're talking about over here. If a person really viewed himself as Omed Lifnei Hamakom, he would not shout out extra messages to passers-by or people in the room, you know, telling them to remember to do something that you might forget, even though it fit in perfectly to the speech that he was making to the Melech. Even though if he was addressing an important crowd or a chashuva leader of a country or a place, he wouldn't insert hidden messages to respond to people whom he wasn't addressing. It just doesn't make sense. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman was very opposed to people trying to give others reminders over the course of their Shemona Esrei. So that this is point number two, that a person who's talking in the middle of Shemona Esrei, he doesn't seem to be getting the point of what he's doing, and it's going to become impossible for him to appropriately approach the Ribbono Shel Olam when it's time for Shemona Esrei. Point number three is from a little bit of more of a hashkafa perspective, and it's based on a very strange comment of the Shulchan Aruch that we mentioned before. It's important to keep in mind that the Shulchan Aruch is not the origin of these comments, but the quoting from the Rishonim and those authorities who preceded the Shulchan Aruch, but these are the things that have been codified al pi halacha. And the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Chav Dal Tziv Zayin has this very strange lashon: Lo yasiach sichas chulin v'sha sheshliach tzibur chozer atvila. That's not strange. A person should not speak mundane things while the Shliach Tzibur is going over the Shemona Esrei. V'imsach hu chote, and if he does talk, he is sinning. V'gadol avono minaso, and his sin is too great to be forgiven. Now, v'gorim bo, and we should give him a dirty look or protest him. Now, it's very interesting that this lashon of gadol avono minaso is found in Parshas Bereishis. By Cain. Cain said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he killed Hevel, Gadol Avoni Minaso, as a rhetorical question or as an actual question, is my sin too great to forgive? Meaning, have I gone too far that you can't even forgive me? And here, the Shulchan Aruch uses it as an actual positive statement. His sin is beyond forgiveness. So it's very strange that Cain was not beyond forgiveness for killing his brother, but a person who talks during Chazaras HaShatz is beyond forgiveness. It's very hard to understand why the Shulchan Aruch would choose to use such a term under these circumstances. So a simple pshat is just that, you know, he wants to double down on the fact that you're not actually allowed to talk during Chazaras HaShatz. More often than not, we have people who, when they see something appears to be a dover kal in their eyes, they don't take it so seriously, so they will treat it, they'll mistreat it, or they won't give it the necessary respect. So the Shulchan Aruch just wants to stress that, no, this is a really big deal, and therefore, sort of to go in the opposite direction, he says, Gadol Avono Minaso. That could be the answer, along the lines, perhaps, of the Gemara when it says, by going to falling asleep before Kriya Shema, so we don't want a person to eat a meal before Kriya Shema at night. And they say, call over al divrei chacham chayav misa. I say, why say chayav misa? Because it's something that people are generally lax in, and therefore we want to make sure that they're taking it very seriously. So here too, the Shulchan Aruch wants to take it seriously. But I once heard a very interesting explanation from Ramat Yisrael Solomon, where he says that these words are meant to be taken very seriously and very literally. And he gives the following explanation. Before we hear the entirety of the explanation, I think it's matim to shtel tzu the Mishnah Berurah over here, where he just brings in that Zivkat Chav Zayin, Kasa Be'Eliyo Rabba B'Shem HaKolbo. So again, we're quoting from the Rishonim, that Oila Anashim Shemisichem Be'Eis HaTfilah. Woe is to those who speak during davening. Ki ra'inu kama batei knesios nechrevu b'shvil avon zeh. We have seen a number of shuls that were destroyed because of this sin. And then he adds, v'yesh limnos anashim yiduim lashgiach al zeh. You should actually appoint people to take care of this problem. So we have this idea that the shul can be destroyed because of the talking during davening. And here the Mishnah Berurah puts it in. I don't think the Kolbo was specifically talking about Chazaras HaShatz, but the Mishnah Berurah puts it here by the Isser to talk during Chazaras HaShatz. Now, it's also important to keep in mind that you see that this was a problem dating back to the days of the Balei HaTosfos, and we know the famous Tshuva of the Rambam, who wanted to do away with Chazaras HaShatz because the people were not taking it seriously and they were talking during Chazaras HaShatz. So this is not a new problem. I'm not trying to come out and say that like talking during Chazaras HaShatz is worse than it's ever been, but I think it illustrates a very interesting yisod that the Beis HaKnesses was destroyed because of the talking during davening. Now that idea is a very difficult one to understand. So you say that the davening is not deemed acceptable. Why is it that we talk about a Beis HaKnesses being destroyed because there was talking during davening? So Ramat Zio has this idea that and he spent a while giving a certain mashal, and a story from the Miri Yeshiva in Shanghai, and I don't want to get into all the details of it, but the basic idea is that when there are two aspects to when a person does a mitzvah, and this is a commonly spoken about concept in Machshava Sfarim, that when a person does a mitzvah, there are two effects that happen from that mitzvah. Number one is the actual scharva onesh, were you yotze, were you not yotze, etc. Did you discharge your obligation to serve Hashem via this mitzvah? So sometimes you're yotze, sometimes you're not yotze. That's the and the reward and punishment that comes along with it is all part of this first category. Then there's a second category of doing the mitzvah, and arguably this is the more important category of when one serves Hashem, which is the effect that the mitzvah has both on the individual performing the mitzvah and in the surrounding environment that is now influenced by that mitzvah. Now, that can be, let's say, a person studies Torah. So a person learns Torah. He is yotze, his obligation of Talmud Torah, and he gets a very great mitzvah for doing such a thing and a tremendous reward. But there's also an additional effect, whether it's very noticeable that in the individual now he knows more Torah than he knew before, or a more spiritual side, that his neshama has been uplifted by the Torah that he's learned. And there's also the environmental effects, that number one, on a very physical level, that people around notice that there's Torah being learned in such a place, and it has a positive influence on the environment. And on a spiritual level of that, you say that the place is uplifted because now that place becomes a makom Torah. So these are all effects that can happen when a person does a mitzvah. Now, when a person davens to Hashem, there are two effects. Obviously, there's the yotzei, the mitzvah of tefillah, which is very important, and perhaps all of the ramifications that come with the various things that you requested and asked for during that davening. But there's also the effect that it has on the environment, that the Shechina was approached in this environment. It makes the place a makom kadosh. It has the positive effect both on a practical and on a spiritual level. On a practical level, obviously, if you go into a shul where everyone's davening very nicely, you're going to see a much more beautiful and a much more spiritual environment in which to daven, and it's going to have a positive effect on all the the people who are coming to daven there. Not all the mispalim, I was saying the Bali Tefillah, but it'll also hopefully have a good effect on the Bali Tefillah, but it'll have an effect on all of the mispalim, that their davenings will be enhanced and they'll be able to daven better, and it'll have this, positive spiraling snowball effect that more and more people will be able to enjoy davening properly. That's, the practical side. But on the spiritual side, also, the makom that becomes more of a makom tefillah, the Beis HaKnesses, whose walls become soaked with the kolos of tefillah and the kavanos of tefillah, and the heartfelt prayers that are directed at the Ribbono Shel Olam, that makom is elevated to become a real makom tefillah, a real makom kadosh. That more so than if it was not having such positive things going on inside of it. And if on the flip side you have a lot of negative activities during davening, you have a lot of talking during davening, so that's going to very negatively affect the Beis HaKnesses as well. And perhaps that's the pshat, that when the Kolbo says that there are many Bate Knesios that were destroyed because of this sin, so that the idea is that the Beis HaKnesses is a place of elevated Kedusha. And by designating something as a Beis HaKnesses, you are by definition elevating its Kedusha. So the effects are felt very, very strongly by a shul when someone does the wrong thing inside of that shul. The Shulchan Aruch points out in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph, Se'if Aleph, Bate Knesios, Bate Midrashos, so these are some of the halachos of Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, Ein Noagin Bayim Kalas Rosh, you're not supposed to be too lightheaded, you're not supposed to goof around in them. Kigon, what would be an example? Schok, right? Too much, clowning around. Vehitul, Vesicha Betela. So the third thing after the Schok and Hitul is Tzicha Betela, having too much random schmoozing. Not necessarily talking Lashon Hara are bad things, but just Sicha B'Tehillah. That's not what these places are made for. These are places that are made for specifically lofty and spiritual pursuits, like davening and learning. And therefore, when a person engages in all kinds of Dvarim B'Tehillah inside a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash, so he's creating a situation where where he's lowering the Kedusha of such a place. And if the place started off with a more lofty level of Kedusha, so now we have a major problem on our hands, that this is going to take something which had a high level of Kedusha, knock down the level of Kedusha, and that can have various bad repercussions, including, as the Kolbo points out, the Beis HaKnesses itself can be destroyed. Now, if you would have done this, let's say, in a regular residence, person's regular house, there's too much talking, Dvarim B'Tehillah. Now, obviously, in one's own home, there should be words of Torah, etc., and words of Tefillah spoken as well, no doubt. But if you're going to designate it as a home, it's understood that a home has a lot of random schmoozing going on in it, and that's just okay, because that's what homes are for. So now, if you have a place which is designated specifically for Kedusha, and what goes on in that place is not only Dvarim Shel Kedusha, it's also all kinds of other things, that place is subject to much more destruction and much more negativity than a place that was not set up in advance for such a purpose. So perhaps that's the pshat in what the Kolbo is trying to say, based on the halacha, that one is not supposed to engage in Sicha B'Tehillah in a Beis HaKnesses, and certainly one is not supposed to engage in Sicha B'Tehillah in the middle of davening, as we have tried to outline. Based on all this, Rav Matisyahu Salman wants to suggest that the pshat in Gadol Avono Minaso, that your sin is too great to be forgiven, is because when you want to be forgiven for your sin, what are you going to do? You're going to have to say vidui, you're going to have to do tshuva, you're going to have to daven, and if your mouth that you use for davening is now constantly engaged in Sicha B'Tehillah at times where it's supposed to be davening, if the shul in which you're supposed to be engaged in davening has been utilized so much for Dvarim B'Tehillah and for negative speech when it's supposed to be used for Dvarim Shel Kedusha, you have effectively ruined the kalim that you're supposed to use for getting forgiveness for your sin. The kalim, the tools that we're supposed to use to engage in the tshuva process to be forgiven for our sins and to make the bakashos to Hashem that we can be forgiven for what we have done, those kalim are no longer functioning on a high level. Those kalim have been ruined to the point that they first need to be rescued. They first need to be brought back up so that we can then utilize those kalim for the things that we need, i.e. the forgiveness for our sin. And thus, it's become much more difficult to receive that kapara because we specifically did an avera which hits at the core of the kalim that we need to be forgiven from it. So that's perhaps why we say gadol avono minaso, that this particular avera is too great to be forgiven, because you're simply going to lack the tools that are necessary to achieve that forgiveness. And thus, the third problem that I wanted to bring up with talking during davening is that we make our davening much less effective. We make the tools that we use for davening, our mouths, our hearts, our and the bias itself, they have less and less kedusha, because if we're tasked with using them for something very spiritual and lofty, and we dafka use them for things that are much less, then we have negatively affected the ability to utilize those tools for what we need from them at that given time. Again, I know this is a very negative presentation, and obviously, you know, the key is not only to quote-unquote stop the talking. It's not all about stopping from something. It's about, yes, davening. It's about doing more positive things. And if you're so busy talking to the Ribbono Shalom and you really feel you know what you're doing during davening, it's going to be much harder to engage in Dvarim B'Tehillim and Sicha B'Tehillah. Nevertheless, I just feel like I've seen so much in the last few years of, you know, the concept of Sur Merava Seh Tov, that we really are supposed to turn away from the negative and engage in the positive. So very often we'll get rid of all the Sur Merah and we'll just say Aseh Tov, Aseh Tov, Aseh Tov. Just do more and more and more good, and Mamela the Ra will be get, you know, will be done away with. And that does work often. However, it just, we have, you know, I think we've seen a new, you know, uprising of a generation where they've only been doing Tov. Thank God they've been doing a lot of Tov. But because they've never heard the word Sur Meirah, because they've never engaged properly in the Sur Meirah, so the within the Aseh Tov, there's a lot of Ra that pops up as well. And I think we need, once in a while, we need to engage that Ra and to try to, you know, actually take a proactive stance to get rid of it, and not just to say, like, when I go to davening, I'm going to daven nicely, which is obviously the goal, but to also say that I'm going to work very hard to try only to daven nicely and not to engage in any other negative talking or any other kind of disturbing behavior, b'shas ha'tefila. And in the zchus of this attempt, we should be zocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer all of our tefilos in the best possible way, and we should be zocha to daven to Him and create that relationship and that connection that tefila can bring into our lives.